was hardly with the band for that long anyway.
Who?
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't really record hardly anything.
Oh, I did.
It's the first that turned up with the live album.
Well, I Ain't Got You and all those things.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I read that you thought the best period was when Jeff was with the band.
I did. Giorgio Bernowski was good for him. Because he got them thinking and stuff, you know, and attempting new things, and that's when they started all sort of departures into this, you know. Apparently, Simon Napier-Bell, they reckoned to me, had sung the riff of Over on the Sideways down to Jeff. But I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, I never sort of spoke. You know, it's poetry about it. I know the idea of the record was to sort of emulate the sound of the old Rock Around the Clock type record, you know. That bass and backbeat thing. But, you know, it wouldn't be evident at all. Just, but, I mean, everyone, every now and again says, well, let's make a record around such and such. And no one would ever know at the end of it.
I read that Jeff played bass on that song.
No, it's not that. No, in fact, in that LP, they just got him in to do the solos. Because they obviously found it really, they'd had a lot of trouble with him. And that's obviously the way they decided to do it. But then when I joined the band, he was more, he wasn't going to walk off anymore and stuff, you know. Until, well, he did it a couple of times. But it's just, you know, if he'd had a bad day, he'd take it out on the audience. Is it weird? I don't know whether he's the same now, is he?
Yeah.
He still is?
Yeah.
Christ. I thought he wasn't, mate. You know, because his playing sounds far more consistent on records.
It is. I mean, it's not...
Because you see, like, the Bolero thing. Working with that, because the track was done, and then the producer just pissed off. He didn't do it. He was never seen. He didn't come back, Napier-Bell. And he just left to sort of be injected. So Jeff was playing, and I was sort of in the box. And even though he says he wrote it, I wrote it, though, bollocks.
What parts are you playing on it?
Oh, the electric. 12 string. It's supposed to be a solo record for him. There was two sides. I don't want to the other side. But in the end, it came out as a B side.
Is that one part down like a slide?
Yeah. That's his bit there. You know, like they started to start basically playing around the chords and just sort of start. You know. Yeah, anyway, that's it. And then the rest of it had been put... The idea was like Ravel's, but it was built around that.
It's an incredible song.
And it's got a lot of drama to it, you know. It's,
definitely.
It came off right. It was a good lineup too, the Keith Moon and everything.
And so that band was going to be Led Zeppelin.
It was, yeah. Well, not Led Zeppelin as the name. The name came later, afterwards. It was... I didn't realise at the time that the name had been put together. In fact, I don't think it had, actually. But it was said afterwards that that's what it could have been called. Because Mooney wanted to get out of The Who, and so did the other one, Entwistle. But when it came down to getting hold of... it was either going to be Winwood or Marriott. And with Winwood, well, it was a set, in the end he came down to Marriott, and he was contacted, and the reply came back from his office, how would you like to have a group with no fingers, boys? Or words to that effect. So the group was dropped. Because, of course, you see, whatever it was, she was in at the time, small phase of me. We're getting the measures, etc. But I think the other band would have been, it would have been the first of all those sort of bands, like the Cream and everything. But it didn't happen. Apart from the Bolero, that's the closest it got.
John Paul plays on.
He's on that, yeah.